Hello everyone, my name is Raymart and today we have Reverend Brent Carter joining us for another podcast episode. Brother Carter is the chairman of Northeast Christian College, which is a UPCI-endorsed Bible college in Canada. He is also the pastor of Mission Point Church in St. John, New Brunswick, and is also involved in multicultural ministries of the United Pentecostal Church International. Brother Carter, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for allowing me to be with you.
So to start off, tell us something about your conversion and your calling.
Okay, so I grew up in the church. One of the great pioneers of our district, Atlantic District, C.B. Dudley, came to my community, obviously, before I was born, 1961, and bought an old schoolhouse, started a church, and my dad was one of the first converts of that church at the age of 17. And then, of course, I was born in 1970, and in March of 1976, on a Saturday night prayer meeting, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in 1978, in the Cushbaguac River, that's where I grew up in the town of Cushbaguac, I was baptized on October the 22nd, 1978, in the exact same spot as my dad was in 1961, on the same date. What's interesting is my oldest child, Miko, was baptized in the same spot on October the 22nd, 1999. So all three of us are baptized in that exact same spot in the Cushbaguac River. Now I will tell you, in Canada, in October, the water is pretty cold. But that was in 1978, and so that was my beginning journeys of living for the Lord. And I've known nothing but that my whole life, which I see as an incredible privilege.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The next question here is one from one of our followers, actually. What do you think is the importance of Bible college education?
So at the age of 9, I asked the Lord, I still remember the moment, the time, that I asked God in a prayer time in my bedroom that I didn't want to be ordinary. I don't even know at 9 years old if I knew the significance of what I was asking. But God put me on a little journey, you know, through my life that he took that prayer serious. And as a young teenager, I felt obviously the call to do what I could for the work of the Lord. And then as I was getting close to graduating from high school, I felt God tugging on my heart to come to Bible college. That was in 1988, which at that time it was United Pentecostal Bible Institute. And I had an idea, you know, that if God wanted me to come to Bible college, he would also help me pay the total amount, and which he did. You know, I worked hard and didn't have no student loans or anything that interfered with that. And when I came to Bible college, I came from a little country town. There was probably a little bit of naiveness when coming to Bible college. But I realized very soon after I was here how vital that was going to be for the rest of my life, that call. And I would say every person that was going to go into the work of the Lord, I kind of look at it this way. Not everyone is called to be a minister, but everyone is called to minister. And because of that, I think at least 1 year of Bible college is a great tool for a foundation for whatever God's going to call you to minister in the future. So I believe in the process of Bible college. I see how important it was in my life. Even though I was brought up in the church, it was a foundational discipline, training, and I see it as a very beneficial thing.
Now, I know there are some people who battle with the thought that they don't really need to go to Bible college, and you know, they have some self-study. We have some short-term, we have some distance learning opportunities. What do you think would be the difference if you go to a Bible college?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that you learn on residence that you don't learn from distance learning. Maybe the key one to that is, well, there's two or three things I could say. The atmosphere of the college is, I think, instrumental in your disciplines. So you develop your study habits, you develop your prayer life, you develop, maybe one of the most crucial is living with people, being around people, because, you know, it's very different than the house you grew up in. It's very different, you know, living in close proximity to people that you didn't even know. So I think that's a good training ground for ministry. It's also, I think, positive to come underneath the instruction of faculty, professors, people who are imparting to you, maybe people that you never heard speak a lot before or teach, but they're imparting their passion, their what God has called them to do into your life. So those things, I think, really are truly felt when you're on location, when you're living in the proximity of those faculty, those professors, and other students.
Now, we've discussed the importance of Bible college education, but do you think secular education is also beneficial to our ministries?
Yeah, so the first 13 years of my ministry, I was an assistant. In both churches that I assisted, were not able to provide me an income. They didn't have the means to do that. So I had a wife, three children. It was important for me to have a secular income. Even though I was involved in ministry heavily, it was important to me to have an income to provide for my family. So, you know, at the age of 19, I took up financial planning. And that was, in my case, a great opportunity to have leniency with my schedule, my time. In the case of if I needed to focus on a certain day more on the church or on an event, I had the ability to make a decision on that. But yet, it provided me an income for my family. So I see benefits, obviously, of having secular training education as well. If you're fortunate enough to go directly into a pastorate position and you can be taken care of full-time, that's wonderful. But if you're going to be a church planner, you're going to be pastoring maybe a small assembly, you're going to be involved in those capacities, maybe you have to have other types of income. There's also benefits to it too. You interact because of your maybe your career or your occupation with people you wouldn't normally interact with. So I see benefits to both sides. In my case, it provided an opportunity for me to grow in ministry, yet take care of my family, you know. And when I became a full-time pastor, then the need for the career wasn't there the same. But in that first 13 years of ministry, it was absolutely crucial because God allowed me to be part of two great churches, but they couldn't take care of me financially. So I was able to give, you know, a good percentage of hours per week because I had a backup of income for myself. So I see the benefits of it.
It's wonderful. Now we are going to a different avenue here. Aside from being the chairman of the Northeast Christian College, you also have years of experience being a pastor. Now, from a pastor's perspective, what do you think are the challenges that young people face with regards to their relationship with their pastors?
Well, I've been privileged over my life to have great pastors, people that I consider my pastors even today. And you know, I look back and I say, okay, why is that the case? You know, because they took time for me. They imparted to me their knowledge, what they could give to me that was beneficial. And I'm in the ministry today because of relationships I had with my pastor. So I see that as being very important today for people, that they're being pushed in all different directions. They have options. I mean, there's a push for have a great career, to make money. I understand all of that. But there's also a need for laborers. So the connection to their pastor is very important. For me, it was. It was crucial. So about 15 years ago, God called us to train young men and women. And the idea of that was there is a need for labor. So I've taken it very serious that my relationship with the people who are being cultivated for ministry in positions of pastoring, missionary, evangelist, whatever the case might be, that whatever I can do to impart to them, to help them along that way, it would be beneficial. Challenges? There's many challenges that will try to divert them. I try to instill in them that, okay, God believes in you, pastor believes in you. If I can just get you to believe that you can do it, then, you know, there's no telling what God will do through your life. So the challenge is there's, again, there's such a pull because, yeah, we need educated doctors in our churches. We need educated teachers in our churches. We need educated, all different professions. And so I'm not against education, but we also need ministers that are willing to impart to their young people, young adults, when they feel a call for the work of the Lord, that they'll do everything in their power to give them what they have to impart to them. The greatest thing that you can give is your time. Time can never be replaced. And so if you'll give your time to young people and say, you know what, I'm going to spend time with you because I see God has something great in store for your ministry, your life. That will be the greatest thing that you could ever give to a young man or woman that has a desire to work for the Lord, and that is your time.
So I know there might be some listeners who are actually maybe working under a senior pastor, but one of the many challenges that maybe young ministers face today is sometimes they work with or they work under a pastor who sometimes they think they're not really helping them or not really giving them time to let them achieve their maximum potential. So what would you say to that young person who thinks that way?
Yeah, so I can understand that there's instances like that. Obviously, I desire and try not to be that type of person. But everyone has their talents to give to that young person. So let's say it's someone that's in a rural community. They have pastored maybe just a certain number of people for many years. They can impart to them a faithfulness, impart to them the importance of longevity, building a strong church, strong foundation. So there's things that they can learn from them. And God, I think the Lord respects timing. There's a time when maybe you feel you've reached to the point of you've gleaned as much as you can from that pastor or person you're working under. But God will, I think, if you're faithful, obedient, submissive to that man of God, that God will open the opportunity and God will allow that door to open for you to maybe flourish beyond what you feel like you're doing right now. I know sometimes young people are anxious because they think they can do more than what they're doing. And that's not a bad thing. I always think in the terms of a young person, if they have desire, that's something I can't give them. So, you know, if they have a desire to do something great for the work of the Lord, then I'm excited about that. So I want to cultivate that. If they feel like they have that and the person they're working under is not using them to their full potential. It may be a timing thing. God will open the door. He has a great ability to make a pathway where there doesn't seem to be a pathway. And if the young person would just embrace the benefits of even that pastor's faithfulness, their longevity, their abilities that God has given them, even if it's in a small community or whatever the case, there's still benefits to that. I understand that there's a possibility of frustration. Okay, but trying to get ahead of God is not the best either, right? So I would encourage them to have conversations of growth with their pastor. I would encourage them to have particular prayer times where they share with the Lord their desire to see more. I would encourage them not to speak about that negatively. I would encourage them to lay it before God. And God, you see my desire to even grow farther than I am. If you're willing for that to happen in my life, make that opportunity available. And God has a way. He has a way. When I look back, I had great pastors in my life, and I thank God for that. But I grew up in a little community of 500 people. We had about 40, 45 people in church. And I look back to those roots, and that's not a negative. You know, we're in a city now of 120,000, but that little beginning was not a negative. Mm-hmm. That was the training ground for me to learn one-on-one, quality time with my pastor. It was a training ground to be submissive to him. I do not look back at those times of those great men of God and say, you know what? I wasn't at my full potential then. No, of course not. God allows things to grow in your life. But those were the foundational points of my life that I never regret. I thank God on a regular basis for a pioneer preacher that came to a small town and started a country church that God allowed me to get saved in, to open up the opportunities for future that I could never have dreamt when I was young. But I just walked through those doors as they opened, and I have never thought of any of that as being a negative. God has allowed that to happen. And what's wonderful about that is I have such a love for all of my pastors still. And I thank God for them on a regular basis. Because they imparted to me to allow me to get to where I am today. So I understand there may be challenges and frustrations. Bloom where you're planted. Allow God to help you flourish until He changes what He desires at any given time.
It's wonderful. Now, I know there are a lot of maybe different perspectives when it comes to the role of the pastor's wife or the pastor's spouse. But do you think it's also important for young people to know how to relate with the pastor's spouse?
Yeah, without question. Of course, young ladies, in the case of my wife, they get to watch her walk with God, her faithfulness to the ministry, not seeing the ministry as a negative, but rather a great positive. So young ladies get to, embrace the opportunity to see how they can become. I thank God for a godly wife and a faithful wife. And young ladies can get to do that. Young men can get to vision and see what they want for a spouse in their ministry and how vital it is to have a spouse that has a desire to not compete but to complete. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's male or female. Both the case of a man having a wife that will complete his ministry, a young lady who's called to the ministry to have a husband that will, they will be a team. They will complete each other. So I think it's important for young people to watch the spouse. So in my case, young ladies get to see that they can be godly and faithful and used and have a vital voice, even with a meek, quiet spirit, if that's the case. Young men get to see, this is what I desire in the possibilities of having a very beneficial spouse in the ministry. So I think it's very important for young people to have a good relationship with the pastor's wife, to see how she supports his ministry. My feeling is God called me to the ministry, and then he gave me a great helpmeet to help me complete that calling. So my wife is a great voice into my life in a positive sense. She's also, in a positive sense, a critique of things that I could do better. I don't take that as a negative. So I think young men and women can look at the pastor's wife, for example, if that's the case, and see it as a very positive viewpoint of, this is what I want to be like, or this is someone maybe I want to marry to be involved in the ministry. So different aspects of, not that the person you marry is going to be exactly like your pastor's wife, but you can see the quality that you're after, because I do believe that the person you marry can have a huge influence on whether your ministry is going to be productive or not. And so I think prayerfully you're considering that, but you can also look at the positive viewpoint of what your pastor and his spouse portray as, okay, this is what I desire. And so I see it as very important, actually. Also, my wife's contribution to, say, young ladies in that are desiring the ministry, she can give a viewpoint that I can't. So I think that's beneficial as well. What it's been said, one of the loneliest positions in ministry is a minister's wife, so she can give a viewpoint that a minister can't necessarily give. So I think it's very important to have that communication or a close relationship with the minister's wife or spouse.
Yeah, thank you for that. We have a lot of listeners who might be feeling a call of God or might be desiring to be used of God. So talk to that young person right now who might be feeling a call of God in their life.
Yeah, I would say it's absolutely nothing to be scared of. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to your life. I make this statement, I don't say this statement disrespectfully, but I would not stoop low enough to be the prime minister of our country. As important as that position may appear, I don't see myself lower than that position. God has called me to the greatest calling that I could ever be part of. I don't regret for a minute what God has called me to do. Yes, there's difficult days. Yes, there's challenging days. Any career that you aspire to, you're going to have difficult days and challenges. But the calling of God is not a career. You are expanding the kingdom. It's eternal. It's an aspect of, I don't see myself working for God. I work with God. I'm doing what I can to expand his kingdom. I think it's important in that aspect to know that you have to be kingdom minded. So I'm not building some empire for me. This is eternal. This is the Bible calling it the watchman on the wall. This is the man standing between the porch and the altar crying, spare the people, Lord. This is the person who's going to give an account for people's souls. There is no greater responsibility. Yet, I don't see that as something to be afraid of. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He prepares us, doesn't ask us to do something we're not able to do. But if we're open to it, he'll lead us into that. So if I had a young person come to me and say, Pastor, I I just feel this tugging on my heart, my spirit, to do something greater for God. I would say they had just been blessed with the greatest calling that they could ever, ever have. So I'll never forget, as a young person, going towards that calling. I'll never forget embracing the opportunity. I will make this comment here, because I think, you know, parents are very vital mm-hmm. and important in this decision. If parents speak negative about the ministry, and you don't want to do that, and that's not something that you want to entail yourself in, then I think that makes it difficult for the young person. My mom and dad never approached it that way. This is the greatest thing that you could ever do. Mm-hmm. And I had a feeling from them. I had an embrace from God's presence into my life, but I had an embrace from mom and dad to say, you know what, this is the greatest thing you could ever do. It was never a thought, well, you know what, you're never going to attain financially or status or fame like you. No, it was never come across that way. This is the greatest thing you could ever do. So I think parents have a huge impact in a young lady or a young man's life that are starting to feel the call. I think also we have to recognize that calls don't happen at certain ages. I think, you know, God can call a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, 15-year-old. And cultivating that to whatever age it is that they aspire to be involved, to be in ministry, the pastor recognizing that, the parents recognizing that, and there being an atmosphere created where the young person feels like, this is the greatest thing that I could ever do. And that's how I embrace ministry. I can't say that I have ever wanted to do anything different. Even though God allowed me to have other things that compensated for my family until I became full-time pastor, I didn't see myself as not being in full-time ministry. I was in full-time ministry from the day God called me. Whether I was getting paid for it or not, it didn't matter. I was called to the ministry. And so God took me through the steps of, okay, I needed to support my family. And he opened up the opportunity in the future for me to focus more on just the church and that. But I looked at it as, this is the greatest thing I could ever do. So a young person that was having that feeling right now, I would encourage parents to encourage them. I would encourage the young person to not be afraid of it. God won't ask them to do anything that they can't do. And, you know, when our daughter went into AIM and was called into missions, and, you know, the traveling around the world, you're thinking, well, some say, you know, your daughter's away. You lost your daughter. No, missions gained our daughter. It was never seen as a negative. It was seen as, this is, you couldn't be involved in anything greater than working with the Lord for the expansion of his kingdom. So I would encourage them to cultivate that feeling, no matter how young the person is.
Thank you for that. To end this interview, do you mind if we pray, Amy, for these listeners who are listening right now?
Yes, I will. God, I thank you for the opportunity we've had today. Your word is very clear. The fields are white, they're ripe, they're ready to harvest. It's never a problem with the harvest. It's a problem with laborers. You need workers. And God, I pray, Lord, maybe someone that would just hear these few answers and listen to this podcast over what we've done over the last few minutes. God, they would feel the tug in their spirit to be involved in the greatest thing that they could ever be involved in. And that is to work hand in hand with you for your kingdom. God, I would encourage a young lady, a young man that's trying to make a decision. God, what are they going to do with their life? If they would just lay themselves on the altar, submit, yield Lord, surrender themselves to you in whatever capacity. God, yes, there will be great people used to minister that have a career, but there will also be those who will be called to be an evangelist, a missionary, a home missionary, a youth pastor, a music director. God, whatever the situation is, speak into each person's heart that may be listening right now and allow the call and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to touch them and minister to them. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, thank you again for joining us today, Ricardo.
You're very welcome, and I have enjoyed it thoroughly.